Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So today's scripture comes to us from the book of Romans. I'll be reading from the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Hear now these words. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves God's love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, as we reflect upon these words as written by Paul, they have meaning to us today. That they will fall upon our ears, that we may have an open spirit to hear what you would speak to us today. What is it that you are asking of us in these moments and in the days ahead? May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the book of Romans is a really theologically rich writing. And sometimes, do you guys ever like pick up a book that maybe is in a knowledge or a context or a theme or a topic you're not really familiar with, and you open it up and you start to read and you're like, what does that word mean? And what are they talking about there? And that's when it's really helpful to be able to go to a glossary or a dictionary or a thesaurus, and or to turn to somebody that you know that maybe knows a little bit about that and be like, hey, can you explain this to me? Because I'm having a really hard time understanding what I'm reading. Of course, for some of us, that might be instruction manuals for assembling furniture or lawnmowers or whatever it is. But how many of us really read those instruction manuals? Some of us do, it, particularly if electricity is involved, and we could like shock ourselves. How many of you love to prepare, you know, meals and there's recipes and you look at it and you're like, I'm not going to follow it exactly. Yeah. It's a suggestion, but not mandated, right? And sometimes I think, you know, we kind of come to our faith of like, well, maybe that's a good idea, or maybe that's a suggestion, and I'll kind of follow my own path, and maybe I'll get to where I need to be. And it really forces us to maybe say, maybe there's a little bit more here that we need to dig in and understand and really reflect upon. And I think that's really what Paul is asking of us today. That there is this idea of, what does it mean to have faith, right? What does it mean to experience God's love? What does it mean to be going through this life? And if you listen to the text, it's like, why do I have to suffer, right? And suffer leads to, you know, perseverance and endurance and strengthening. And as we move through this thing, we get to the place of hope, right? Where it's kind of like, okay, how can I cling to this truth that where I'm at right now won't always be like this, right? That's that message of hope. And the pivot moment where it really happens that it won't always be like this is at the very end, that said, for God in the right moment offered Jesus for the ungodly. That while we were yet sinners, that proves God's love toward us. And for me, when I hear that, it automatically draws me to the sacrament of Holy Communion. It's the words that we say. We claim that hope of the way that we are won't always be because of God's action and love in our lives. And so to be really kind of nerdy, I've in some ways talked about being a metho nerd. Have y'all heard me use this word before? The folks that have participated both in Disciple Bible Study and also our women's Bible study, particularly I'm thinking about my women, who basically said they felt like they needed to receive honorary certificates of theology because we have talked a lot about of these terms, right? Of like, what does it mean to be justified? What does it mean to receive grace? What is the epiclesis? Like all of these words, transubstantiation, and I'm saying these words and y'all are like, eyes glaze over, right? But this idea that there are these terms, and so of course at the core of this is this idea of God's grace. As Methodists, we believe in the transformative power of God's grace. When we come into this space, do I not say, I hope that we will receive that grace in abundance, that it will transform us, that we will leave differently than how we arrived. Right? That at the heart of who we are in our time of worship is this element of grace. And as Methodists, we believe that there are different ways grace manifests itself in our lives. The first is prevenient grace. How many of you have heard that term, prevenient? A couple of you. Okay, so there's not a very big difference between teaching and preaching. So prevenient grace is God's grace that goes before us. Before we are aware of our need of salvation. That means it is the foundation about why we are, we as a denomination, as a faith, are willing to baptize infants because we believe God's grace is already working in that child's life. And the promises that are made are typically made by parents, but there will come a moment when that child will acknowledge the gift of salvation and profess faith openly and become a full member in the family, in the community of faith. And so it's this prevenient grace. And for some of us, it can be like from birth. I can speak from my language and say I was baptized in the Catholic Church, but I never attended church until I was really in my 20s. But it was God's grace that was working in my life all the way until that point when I said, wow, there's this God-sized hole in my being, and I'm finally realizing that I need that. That's that prevenient grace that went before that made me realize I need to be transformed. I need to be different, right? And then once we get to that point of needing this reconciliation, this salvation, this gift, it's called justifying grace. And the way I love to break it down is if we say justify, you can break it into three words. Just if I. So that is when we profess that faith in Jesus and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and say, I was a sinner and I received the gift of forgiveness and I'm being incorporated into the family of God. And it is just if I had never sinned. It is just if I am no longer broken like I was before. It's just if I have this new life and this new experience that I can move forward in, right? And so after we get to that point, there's this sanctifying grace. It's that grace that continues to work in and through us that makes us realize that the more we learn, the more we don't know about who God is and who we are and who we are together. And thanks be to God for grace that continues to work in and through us and draws us and knits us together as a community of faith, right? And this is where we talk about moving on to Christian perfection, which is a whole nother conversation. Here's the reality. Will we ever be perfect in our lifetime? No. But does that mean that we stop receiving God's grace in order to be transformed by it? No. We receive God's grace so that we can continue to move into the fullness of who God has created each and every one of us to be, which is the divine image of God. We are created to be Jesus imager carriers into the world, right? And there are times we do that really well, and there are times when we don't do it so well, right? And that's when we come back together and say, okay, God, you got to work on me. Just if I hadn't made those mistakes, keep working on me so that I can be the fullness of who you desire me to be, right? And then we have the aspects of all of these life moments, the suffering, the endurance, moving towards hope. All of it is based on foundation of faith, that we trust that God is working in and through the world, and how we see it is not the end of the story. It is not how things are intended to be, that God is continuing to redeem and reconcile all of creation back to that perfected creation that was originally intended, right? But here's something that I cannot get away from, and it is the language of it that hits me every single time. So y'all are sitting in the pews, and you're probably talking, you know, thinking, okay, well, we read the words. It's kind of like reading those instruction manuals or reading the recipe, but until we actually go through the process of doing those things, they're just words, right? We have to put things into action. And so what I love in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about a little sprinkling. We're not talking about a misting. We're not talking about a little dash here, a little dash there. We're talking about God literally pouring love upon each and every one of us. Does that shift how we understand the abundance of God's love in our lives? That it isn't just a small trickle of whatever. It is full immersion. Bathe me in the love of God, right? And not only that, there is a place, and I need to find it. This is back in verse 2, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. Experiencing this faith, experiencing God's grace, is an embodied action. Do you hear that? It requires your body. It requires your mind. It requires your heart. It means I need to be fully present so that I can be washed with God's love. So if we just read these words and be like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, if we have faith in Jesus, we'll be able to receive the gift of grace. And when we have these moments of hardness, we'll suffer. But we'll hope that it won't always be like that. It's kind of a wishy-washy place to be. Would you agree with that? But if we boldly and confidently stand in the presence of God with the full expectation and hope that God's love is going to be poured over through us into our hearts, into all the nooks and crannies, that for me is where this hope resides. That when the moments are hard, I do not walk this life as if I was alone, but just if God was right there within me, around me, under me, above me, in every part of my being. For me, friends, that is the hope that we are called to hold. Just as if God is in our very molecules, our thoughts, our dreams, our hopes, our expectations, our sufferings, our concerns, our worries, our anxieties, all of the things, God already knows. Because God has poured out God's love upon each and every one of us, which we stand in the hope and the faith of Jesus Christ, that what was will look different and into the fullness of what God desires for each and every one of us. Friends, that's the hope that I cling to And I hope that you also hope for the same thing. So I'm going to invite you. Can you stand for a moment with me? Can you just stand? And I often invite you to hold your hands open because sometimes we just think, what in the world? Why is she asking me to do this? Hold your hands. What do you see in your hands right now? Most of the time, people are going to say, I see nothing. Would you agree with me? I see nothing. But here is what I want you to see. That God's love is right there in your hands. You can use that love in goodness and in kindness, in the embracing of people you know, of people you don't know, in the offering of a hand of help, holding someone's hand in the midst of difficulty, holding your child's hand so they don't run across the street and they pull on you like you've got to be kidding me. Holding your hands of how you are using the unique gifts that God has gifted to you for the betterment of the world. May God's love not only pour into your hands, but may it pour out to everyone you come into contact with. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.